As we have been looking at the Sermon on the Mount and what that is for us to follow and stuff of what that means in so many different ways that are following those things and how we liken those to things, it made me think of an analogies and it's like this. This is like this, you know, and how those analogies work. And I came across some analogies that are interesting. These are actually written by high school students that they wrote as part of different assignments, and stuff. And these would be considered probably bad analogies, okay? And stuff. One says her hair glistened in the rain, like nose hair after a sneeze. Okay, yeah, we can consider that a bad analogy, right? Another one said he was as tall as a 6'3" tree. Another one wrote and says the little boat gently drifted across the pond exactly the way a bowling ball wouldn't. Interesting analogy there. And John and Mary had never met. They were like two hummingbirds who had also never met. Okay, all right. And this one's my favorite. This is really a good one here. It says, long separated by cruel fate, the star-crossed lovers raced across the grassy field toward each other like two freight trains, one having left Cleveland at 6:36 p.m., traveling at 55 miles an hour, the other from Topeka at 4:19 a.m., traveling at 35 miles an hour. Do you remember those problems from school? Apparently, this is the way you figure out how two star-crossed lovers meet and stuff to do. But the analogy that we might have, too, in this is mercy is like grace. Is it like grace? This is the beatitude that we're looking at today. What is mercy like? Is it like grace? Or is mercy like charity? Or is mercy and grace like oil and water? Or they are different things. What are we likening mercy to? And stuff, mercy is like being not guilty of the crime and not having any consequences. Is that it? Is it not guilty? Oh, it's guilty. I am guilty of the crime. I am guilty of sin. And yet, I don't have any consequences because of what Jesus has done for me and forgiveness. Some common synonyms for mercy are charity or clemency or grace is what we're talking about, leniency. And all of these words mean a disposition to show kindness or compassion. Mercy implies compassion that refrains from punishing even when justice demands it. Justice demands a punishment. Proverbs tells us in Proverbs 18:5 says, it's not right to acquit the guilty or deny justice to the innocent. We want justice. That's not right. Those feelings of what we've talked about before. And Romans chapter 1, verse 32 tells us, they know God's justice requires that those who do these things deserve to die, yet they do them anyway, and they encourage others to do them too. To realize the punishment that justice demands, and yet God in His mercy does not give us punishment. So what is the difference between mercy and grace? Grace is receiving what I do not deserve. It's a benefit that comes that I go, oh wow, I don't deserve this. Even, the things of, hey, I want to take you out for ice cream. I don't deserve ice cream. Why are you giving me ice cream? Or the bigger things of, wow, I'm going to give you $1 million. What do I do to deserve $1 million? It's something that we get that we don't deserve. God gives us life when we don't deserve it. Scripture says in Romans 11:6, and since it is through God's kindness, that it is not by their good works, For in that case, God's grace would not be really what it is, free and undeserved. God's grace is free and undeserved. There's nothing we can do to earn it. There's nothing we can do to work toward and saying, well, I've earned up enough points, and now I get to have grace. It's not like the old S&H green stamps or blue chip stamps that we used to have. You know, you get collect enough of those, and, oh, look at what I can get. God does not keep us on a stamp, the collection of things that, oh, he's earned enough, now I'm going to give him grace. It is free and undeserved. So if that's what grace is, what is mercy? Mercy is not getting what I do deserve. I deserve punishment. I deserve death because of the things that go against God. But God in his mercy doesn't do that. He doesn't punish me because I've asked for forgiveness. Psalms 28:4, David was saying, give them punishment so they so richly deserve. You ever feel like that towards somebody? Man, they deserve punishment. Man, they deserve the things they're doing. Just yesterday I saw, I don't know if you saw it, it's been 5 years ago that we lost two firefighters in the fire at the library. And several memorials have been put up, and one of them was a tree that was planted by the fire station one, and somebody came along and uprooted that tree and stuff to do. And the comments on Facebook are, man, find him and punish him. He deserves, what does he think he's doing? Whoever did that deserves all the punishment to the fullest extent of the law. All of those things do. And there may very well be some punishment that comes. That's what we typically think. And that's what David's saying, give them the punishment they so richly deserve. And I felt that way at times. Have you? And they deserve to have punishment. But it's usually about somebody else, right? Don't punish me. You know, I had a good reason, you know, and stuff. We can be ready to punish somebody else so easily, but say, give me mercy. I deserve mercy and stuff because of the things. And he goes on and says, measure it out in proportion to their wickedness. Pay them back for all their evil deeds. Give them a taste of what they have done to others. But then the realization of what David also says just two verses later, praise the Lord for he's heard my cry for mercy. We can so often be like that and think, punish them, but give me mercy. Matthew 28 is the story that Jesus told of the servant that was owed millions of dollars to the master. And the master said, it's time to pay back all the debts. And so he went to his master and said, please have mercy on me. Please forgive me. I'll do something. And stuff. Well, what can we do to make this right? And the master told him, he says, well, just forget it. That $1 million that would be equivalent in our society today. And he said, no, forget about it. Don't worry about it. It's okay. You're forgiven. And he left there going, all right. Man, this is great. And as he left, he met a fellow servant that owed him $1,000. And he says, where's that money you owe me? You better give it to me right now or I'm going to throw you in prison until you get it turned back to me. He received the mercy from the master, but had no mercy on somebody else that owed him far less. Do we do the same thing with God when he forgives us of all of the stuff that we have done in our lives, but then demand punishment for somebody else of what they've done to us? Man, you know, they really hurt me. They deserve all they get. I'm never going to forgive them. You got to work this off. You got to do all these things to prove. And all that stuff that we can do to not show mercy. Matthew 6:15 tells us, but if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. Wow. How do we handle that? How do we address those things to say, I need to be the one to show mercy to somebody else? James 2:13 tells us, there will be no mercy for those who have not shown mercy to others. But if you have been merciful, God will be merciful when he judges you. You may have heard the name Bob Sheffield. He belongs to the Navigators, and he tells a story of what it means to receive God's forgiveness. Before he became a Christian, Bob played professional hockey in Canada. And he was a tough player. He loved to fight and to brawl on the ice as well as off. And one night he found himself in jail after a barroom brawl that he had gotten into. Later, Bob and his wife became Christians. And they accepted a temporary assignment with the Navigators in the United States. And Bob had to apply for a landed immigrant status, is what it was called, which would allow him and his wife to continue in ministry in the United States. But because he had a criminal record, his request was denied. Said, no, we don't want you to be in the United States with your past. And said, we know what it is. So what they did, they decided to apply in Canada for what's called the Queen's Pardon. And following a thorough investigation, the pardon was granted, and Bob Sheffield received the following notice in the mail. And I'll read it, because it's sort of in Queen's English at different places. Whereas we have since implored on behalf of the said Robert Jones Sheffield to extend a pardon to him in respect to the convictions against him. And whereas the Solicitor General here submitted a report to us, now know ye, therefore, having taken these things into consideration, that we are willing to extend the royal clemency on him, the said Robert J. Sheffield. We have pardoned,
remitted, and released him of every penalty to
which he was liable
in the pursuance thereof. Means they took away everything. He used to be liable for all the things that he did. Those are gone. He is
no longer liable. There's nothing he can do
to be
punished because of his past. Says any document that from that time forward that Bob was asked to, if he had a criminal record, he could legally say, no, there's nothing in my past. I have a pardon. The pardon meant he was released from all possible punishment for his crimes, and that the records of the crimes themselves were completely erased. This
is the kind of pardon
that we have in Jesus. We are set free from any penalty or punishment. When asked, the answer is no record. Pardoned by the blood of Jesus Christ. We are pardoned. So what are the characteristics of mercy? Pastor
Rick Warren
from Saddleback several years ago wrote an article and outlined some characteristics of mercy. And I want us to use these characteristics that he said as for us to get a better understanding, and we'll expound on them a little bit.
So there are seven characteristics
that he talked about. So what do you need to do? If you
want to see your relationships transformed, then we
need to be agents of mercy. This is what God wants to us to learn and apply in our lives.
First
is mercy means being patient with other people's quirks.
You know those quirks, those little things that can drive you crazy.
That you may have, that you know somebody, maybe it's chewing with their mouth open. Maybe it's drinking directly out of the milk carton, out of the refrigerator, that quirk, you know. Maybe it's leaving
dirty dishes in the sink.
Or leaving the bicycle laying in the driveway instead of putting it away. Maybe never putting the toilet seat down, guys, you know, and stuff that's there. Maybe it's being late for everything. Or waiting till the last minute to start a project and then say, oh, I need your help. You know, help me get this done. And stuff that's there is putting out something.
How
do you become more patient and merciful with your kids? or with your spouse, your coworkers, your friends. You ask God for wisdom. The Bible says in James 3:17, the wisdom from above is first of all pure. It is also peace-loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy. We ask God for wisdom, and His wisdom is full of mercy. His wisdom is full of peace. It's gentle. It is full of mercy to us. Therefore, we extend to others. Second characteristic is mercy means helping anyone around you who is hurting. Jesus told the rich young man in the story in the Bible, when he came to him and said, "What must I do to have eternal life?" And Jesus told him several things, and one of them was, love your neighbor as yourself. You cannot love your neighbor as yourself without being merciful. Because what did we talk about? Yeah, punish them, but have mercy on me. If all I'm concerned about is their punishment instead of mercy for them as well as for me, then I am not loving the people around me. Love your neighbor as yourself. Not just love your neighbor, but love your neighbor as yourself in those things. Proverbs 3:27 says, do not withhold good from those who deserve it when it is your power to help them. See, mercy is not giving grudgingly. Letting the person know who is receiving the mercy that you really don't want to show it, that they don't deserve it. Well, you know, you really hurt me. You don't deserve to be let off the hook. And said, but I guess I'll do it, but I'm going to remember this. That's not mercy. That's not showing the things. We already all know that we don't deserve mercy. But we need to be merciful and be cheerful about it. Romans 12:8 says, the one who does that acts of mercy, do it with cheerfulness. Are we being cheerful when we show somebody else mercy? Or are we going, well, yeah, I guess. Or, yes, I'd be glad to show you mercy. I want to make sure that you're okay. Are we doing that? This week, how will you show mercy to people around you who are hurting? What are you going to do? Do to show mercy. The third characteristic means mercy means giving people a second chance. When somebody hurts us, we normally want to get even or write that person off and say, yep, that's it, done, or I'm going to get you back. When somebody hurts us, that's the typical reaction we have. Ephesians 4:31 and 32 says, stop being bitter and angry and mad at others. Instead, be kind and merciful and forgive others.
Just as God
forgave you
because of Christ.
Always remembering we have been forgiven when we ask Christ to forgive us. That's mercy. Am I being kind? Because I remember that Christ forgave me. I didn't deserve it. Why do I think I have to make them do something to deserve mercy? Some of you may remember years ago, New York Yankees owner, George Steinbrenner, and one of his players, Daryl Strawberry, he got into some trouble. And with drug things and stuff to do, and he had court things that he was supposed to do and stuff to do. He was following those things and the mandated things that treatment in the drug court required. And George Steinbrenner said, it might not be a long time before he's released back into society, and he will come with me when that happens. People will say, he's going to do it to you again. Well, I'm willing to take that chance. It's important that he knows that if he makes the turn, we'll be there for him. And I don't care if we have to do it 100 times. Getting that second, third, fourth, or fifth chance is what our country's all about. Am I willing to give somebody a second chance with me for mercy? Mercy also means doing good to those who hurt you. Mercy is giving people what they need, not what they deserve, as we've talked, because that's what God does for us. In Luke chapter 6, it says, but love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. Am I being merciful because of what my Father did for me? Doing good to those that hurt me. Mercy also means being kind to those who offend you. It's different than a hurt. It's an offense. You've got to be more interested in winning people to Christ than in winning the argument. Colossians tells us, Paul says, make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must also forgive others for that offense. The things that are there. Jude verses 22 and 23 says, you must show mercy to those whose faith is wavering. Rescue others by snatching them from the flames of judgment. Show mercy to still others, but do so with great caution, hating the sins that contaminate their lives. Am I willing to show mercy to those that may have offended me? Why do we often try to win the argument instead of trying to win people to Christ? We need to choose our words carefully. If you're going to show mercy, there are some things you just can't say. You can't be rude or sarcastic. Mercy puts a monitor on our mouths and helps us to choose words that build each other up instead of tearing them down. Colossians 4:6 says, when you talk, you should always be kind and pleasant, so you will be able to answer everyone in the way you should. It's the way I'm speaking to somebody, building them up, being kind and pleasant, so I can answer others in the way that I should. You know, maybe you grew up in a family where it was common to put each other down, to attack each other, and to say things that may not be really very nice. And now you've developed the same habit in your own life. How do you break that habit? Ask God for wisdom, because what did we say? The wisdom from above is, first of all, pure, peaceable, gentle, open to reason, and full of mercy. The wiser we become, the more merciful we'll be to the people around us, no matter how much they disagree with you or dislike you. That's because the more you understand the hurts of other people, the more likely you are to cut them some slack and show them mercy. I think I've told it before, but the story of the man that got on the subway early one Sunday morning in New York with three little kids, and he sat down, and the kids ran up and down the subway car and kicking other people's feet and knocking papers out of their hands, just running wild. And people were
getting really upset
about
what they were doing, and Dad's just
sitting there doing nothing to control them.
One of the people sitting
close to the
dad said,
don't you think you should do something about what your kids are doing?
Father sort of woke up. He was not didn't have his eyes closed, but just sort of
became aware and said, Oh, yeah, I guess I should.
We
just came from the hospital where their mother just died. Do we
understand what somebody else is going through?
It changed the whole situation in the subway car, where everybody was now embracing these kids and loving on them instead of going, what are they doing?
Understanding
somebody's situation brings us to a point of being able to show mercy and compassion. Sixth characteristic we see here is that mercy means building bridges of love to the unpopular.
Remember when the Pharisees
questioned Jesus about why he ate with tax collectors and sinners and other unpopular people? Jesus said in Matthew 9:13, I want you to show mercy, not offer sacrifices. For I have come not to call those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners. See, when somebody thinks they're righteous, being able to reach into their lives and say, yes, this is what needs to happen. I need you to follow me and stuff. And stuff doesn't work well. We need to be able to say, yep, that's me. I'm a sinner. I know I need help. I know that's the problem that I face. Seventh characteristic that we see is mercy means valuing relationships over rules. Romans
13:10 says, love fulfills the requirements of God's law. Love fulfills that requirement.
If you want to show mercy, put people before policies. Put their needs before procedures. Put relationships before regulations. Choose love over law. You know, there are some places where you would go to worship where there's, oh, you're not wearing the right clothes. You can't come in here.
That's putting
policies before people. That's putting
those things that would
say, no, you don't meet the requirements before them. They're not valuing a relationship. They're valuing rules instead. If mercy means valuing relationships over rules, what do you need to change about the way you interact with your children? What about your coworkers or those with different political beliefs? Value saving people over keeping the rules. Jesus modeled this over and over again. A good example is found in the book of Matthew. And Jesus says this to the legalistic Pharisees. He says, you are careful to tithe even the tiniest income from your herb gardens, but you ignore the most important aspects of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. You should tithe, yes, but do not neglect the most important things. See, Jesus didn't like how the Pharisees had prioritized tithing over the more important things of life, such as treating people fairly and showing mercy and having faith. He wants us to not neglect the more important things. He would rather see our kindness break through to others so that one day they will give their lives to him. Jesus was more interested in kingdom building than in rule following. Jesus broke the rules when he healed on the Sabbath. He was more concerned about meeting people's needs than saying, I'm not supposed to do this. You'll have to wait. We'll have to do it. You can't do it here. All of those things. Every time you show mercy, that's your greatest Christian witness to the world. And showing mercy doesn't always come naturally to us. One of the best ways to be a witness for Jesus in a world that's becoming more judgmental, more selfish, and more unforgiving is to show mercy to others. So what are the reasons we should be merciful? Why should we do this? Why does God expect us to show mercy to others? Why should you be merciful? First is because God has shown mercy to you. Ephesians 2:4 says, "But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only because God's grace that you have been saved." God wants you to pass on that mercy that you've received from him. Second reason is because God commands you to be merciful. Do you want a summary of what life is all about? Here it is, Micah 6:8. "Know, O people, the Lord has told you what is good and what he requires of you, to do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." God commands us to be merciful. Also, because you're going to need more mercy in the future. It's not something that we ever run out of needing. You know, say, "Well, I've gotten enough mercy. I don't need any more." We're going to need it in the future. Because between now and heaven, you're going to make some mistakes. And you're going to need God's mercy when you do it. But you cannot receive what you are not willing to give. We talked about it earlier, James 2:13, "There will be no mercy for those who have not shown mercy to others." But if you have been merciful, God will be merciful when he judges you. You're going to need more mercy in the future. Also, we need to show mercy because showing mercy leads to happiness. Let's look again at Matthew 5:7 from the Beatitudes. It says that God, there you go. Did I go past it? Yep, there it goes. God blesses those who are merciful. The word blessed also means happy. So the more you learn to demonstrate mercy, the more blessed and happier you will be. God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. In other words, you're going to get what you receive. You're going to receive what you get. Excuse me. What you give. I'll get it. And if you want God to be a blessing on your life, then you've got to learn how to be a minister of mercy. If you want to start receiving more and more mercy, there's one condition. You need to ask for forgiveness and mercy from God. Acts 2:21 says, "Anyone who asks for mercy from the Lord shall have it and shall be saved." So we each need to come to that point where we're ready to accept God's mercy in our lives, where we realize, yes, I am in need of mercy. I need to be forgiven. Jesus didn't come to judge us. He came to show us mercy, to make a way for us to not be punished for the things that we deserve to be punished for. So how do we do that? What do we do? It starts with our acceptance of Christ, to say, "I need you in my life. Please forgive me of the things of my past. I want you to be Lord of my life." Then we can start passing on mercy to somebody else, because we cannot pass on what we do not have in our lives on our own. I can only give you what I do have. Once I do have mercy, then I can pass it on to those around me. Would you stand with me as we pray together today? Maybe you need to pray that prayer today. For the first time, or new. To say, yep, I need to receive mercy from God so I can pass the mercy on to others as he's told me I need to do. Pray with us as we do. Father, we thank you for your love for us. You know, when I look at the sin and shortcomings in my own life, I'm grateful for the mercy you have shown me to forgive me of my past, to pardon me and cleanse me from the punishment that was so rightly mine. Thank you for forgiving me and making me whole and clean anew. Help me to be more like you, Father, to love others, to show mercy, because you have shown me such great mercy. I want you to be Lord of my life. Direct me. Lead me in what you would have. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.